today on Real Radio.
If you delight yourself in God, that is, you come today and you say, I'm a Christian. I want God to lead me. I want to know what God's plan is for my life. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. What does that mean? That means you are going to find out everything you can about God. You're going to dive in and you're going to study about his nature and his person up one side and down the other. You're going to know him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That God Has a Plan, continues now in his series called Who Told You? A lot of what we believe can be based on our personal feelings and past experiences. But how do these beliefs stack up to Scripture? This series will help us discern the voices and opinions of our day from the truth of God's Word. The Bible tells us over and over again that God has a plan for us as believers. It's a plan that honors God and fulfills our reason for living. A plan, from God's perspective, is an orderly arrangement of thoughts, strategies, concepts, and methods with the intent to create or to achieve. And when we allow God's plan to work in us, we'll discover our purpose in life, and it will be a life full of expectation, hope, and motivation. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we delight ourselves in God, when we spend time with him and know his ways, he will give us the desires of our heart. But if God's word is in us and the Holy Spirit is guiding us, our desires will become what he desires for us. And now, continuing in his lesson called Who Told You That God Has a Plan? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
This last week, I walked out of a grocery store here in town and I saw something that's unusual. We live in an affluent area here in this part of the world. And I saw a young man outside of the market sitting down, and he said, sir, would you spare any money? Now, I'll be honest with you. I saw him going into the store. I never carry cash. And so I made sure that when I was coming out, I had $5 cash. Follow with me. I knew what I was going to do. What were you going to do, Pastor? I was going to pay this guy $5 to hear the gospel. Did you hear me? He was obviously in need. He looked horrible. So I took out an extra $5 out of the debit card. I'm going to pay him $5 to tell him the gospel. I think that's money well spent, personally. And I said, he asked me that question. I said, hey, dude, what's up with you? I'm hungry. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you some money. But how old are you? I was shocked. He looked younger. He said, I'm 27. I said, why are you begging at 27 years of age in America? And he said, because my dad abandoned us, left us homeless, and I have nowhere to go. And I said, well, I'll tell you what right now. Listen, you're 27. Are you going to live the rest of your life like this? Do you want to? No, sir. And I said, so what are you going to do about it? I don't know. I said, well, I'll tell you what. And I gave him, you know, I told him, I said, you don't need to hear what I said, but I said something along the lines of, if I were your dad, I'd say this. And I told him. Bottom line was this, do you want to be here when you're 57? Oh, no, sir, I don't. So he went and got himself something, a young man with no purpose. That kind of stuff leads to a life that is empty. And I told him, you've been, because I knew the message on Sunday. I said, God has created you for a purpose, and you're not living it. God has a plan for your life, and at its worst, it's better than what you're doing. That young man listened. Derek is his name. I'd appreciate you praying for him. God created Derek with a purpose. God created you with a purpose. There's a great purpose for your life. It's not something I'm supposed to say as a pastor. It's not something that is just a colloquial statement. It's real. It's a fact that God wastes nothing in his purposeful designs. He created you for a purpose. God would be saying to you today, I would ask you today, are you living the purpose that God has created for you? Do you know what that purpose is? To live it Which leads us to the second consideration is design. A plan, God has a plan for your life. And you can say this, that God, because he has a plan for your life, he's got a purpose for your life, he's got a design. God's got a design for your life. And I gotta tell you, we don't have much time. The plethora and multitude of verses that speak to you and me about God's design for our lives would take this entire remainder of the day to go through all the verses. He's got so much to tell you about the purposeful design that he has for your life. None of us should be walking around saying, oh, I don't know what to do. God has, he is your creator. Watch this, a design. The word design means that God deliberately designed with the intent for a specific reason. In other words, whatever your worldview is and whatever your issue is, God wants you to know today he doesn't make mistakes. You and I make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. He created you, you're living, you're drawing breath right now, and God says, please listen. I've designed you with a plan and a purpose because of a specific design. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, and I like this, the verse. I like verses that just make me sit down and kind of zip my mouth. Overwhelming verses. God says in Isaiah 55, 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Don't you like when God talks like that? Nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. That's how awesome your God is, the God of the Bible. Do you know him like this? Do you know him like this? Where he says, come, come on, let's do this. And you say, well, tell me. And he goes, are you kidding? If I were to tell you, it'd fry your brain. You couldn't handle what I want to do with you. Just come on. Isn't it great? Jesus shows up and says to Matthew as he's collecting taxes for Rome. Jesus walks up and says to Matthew, come and follow me. Isn't that great? What was it that moment? Wouldn't you love to have been there? Jesus is just walking by and everybody is having to pay taxes to walk through this gate. Jesus just walks right by. He probably walked through the gate. He just probably walked by. Excuse me. Yep. Okay. Excuse me. Thank you. And Matthew, hey, what's up? Jesus just turns and says, come and follow me. I bet you could see Matthew because the Bible says he left everything in the instant and got up and he took off. Oh, I would love to have seen that. Purpose. Matthew discerned that whoever that guy was, something's up. And Jesus said, come and follow me. What an awesome declaration. God's ways are beyond our ways. And he has a design. Listen, I'm going to give you some verses. Get ready to write them down. And if you want to think about getting these tattooed on your left arm. Just think of that. You're going to want to write them down after I give them to you. I'm going to give you these clusters of verses, and these verses, to the Christian I'm talking about, to the Christian, if you follow these scriptures, they'll transform your life as a believer. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust, say the word trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust. Next verse. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit. Say commit. Amen. Trust, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Now listen to this. God is saying, you trust, I'll lead you. You commit, I'll take care of your thoughts. I'll take care of whatever you need and you're doing. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight. Say the word delight. Trust, commit, delight. You ought to remember these. If you got to form an acronym, do it. Delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That verse right there, Psalm 37, 4 and 5, announces this. If you delight yourself in God, that is, you come today and you say, I'm a Christian. I want God to lead me. I want to know what God's plan is for my life. I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. What does that mean? That means you are going to find out everything you can about God. You're going to dive in and you're going to study about his nature and his person up one side and down the other. You're going to know him. Guess what happens? As you know him, and you begin to delight in him, when he says, I'll give you the desires of your heart, this is not a Santa Claus verse. Some of you read that verse, you're probably thinking, awesome, I want a Ferrari. Listen, that's not what that means. When you delight yourself in the Lord, you spend time with him, he rubs off on you. he's very possessive about this, but if you spend time with him, it's like anything else. Have you noticed that there's some people as they get older and they have dogs, that their dogs look just like them, or they look just like their dogs? Have you noticed that? When you hang out long enough with something, apparently you take on the looks of it. Listen, think about hanging out with Jesus. And after a while, you begin to take on his ways because you know how he speaks, because he speaks from his word. And now Bible, without even knowing the chapter and verse, Bible knowledge starts coming out of your mouth. Somebody will say, oh man, I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. And you know what? It's okay. I'll pray for you. Just trust in the Lord. He knows. You're actually paraphrasing scripture. You're delighting in him. And here's what happens. But Jack, it does say he'll give you the desires of your heart. Yes, it does. He changes your heart. You don't want a Ferrari. You want whatever he wants for you. This is key to our study today. You want whatever he wants because you know what he wants is the best for you because he has a plan. That the word plan is his intent to work very specifically in your life. And you know why it's wonderful? We don't define the word wonderful the way the world does. Because the way the world defines God as a wonderful plan for your life goes like this. You'll always be rich. You'll never be sick. Everybody will want to be your friend. You'll never age. And whatever. And that's not real. That's false. And people that are fed that stuff in churches, the day that hits them that's rough, they sink. They've got nothing to grab onto. Because you know what their conclusion is? God must not love me. I must not know him. Or boy, is he a ripoff. And people wind up shaking their fist at God because he wasn't Santa. No, listen, he has a wonderful plan for your life, and the word wonderful defined as God knows exactly what to do for in the end to make it the very best for you, according to God's definition. Next verse though, fourth one for the tattoo on the left arm. John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, say the word abide. That's the fourth. Trust, commit, delight, abide means live with Jesus. My words abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Do you see that? If my word is in you, you're gonna ask the right thing. You're gonna understand his nature. He's not gonna be a Sunday morning only Jesus. He's not gonna be the Jesus that makes you a champion and everything comes out perfect every day and you have no worries. No, he's the Jesus that takes you through the worst situations in life. He's the Jesus that takes you through the breakup, through the death, through the bankruptcy, through the brokenness. He's the Jesus that never leaves you. And in the midst of all the things that are going on in your life, he's working it out. None of us, let's be honest, none of us would sign up for that. None of us say, Jesus, I love you. I'm a follower of yours. Just make my life as rough as possible. Just drag me through the mud. Get me out on the other side. Spit me out. We don't do that because we see through a lens that's cloudy right now. But listen, Jesus would say to us, if you only knew what I'm doing in your life right now, and when I get you to the other end of your life and you stand before me in glory, you're going to say to me, Jesus, thank you. I wouldn't have changed a thing. That's what you tell a mom and a dad who's getting ready to bury their baby. Jack, where's the love of God? Our baby died. You turn to them and you give them scripture. You don't give them a Jiminy Cricket happy thought. You give them the promises of God. It's the only thing with power. And you tell them what the word of God says. Your son cannot come to you now, but you will go to your son in that day that you meet him. Your son's in the hands of glory. Your son is in the hands of Jesus at this moment. God has a design. What do you think about when you see this slide? It's a blueprint. That does nothing for me. Some of you out there is like, oh, well, you must be a contractor, an architect, or an engineer of some type. Good for you. It speaks about design, I take it, I guess, right? I mean, I know enough that you can't build anything without a design. To me, it looks like things are floating up toward the ceiling. I don't get it. But though that makes no sense to me, this does. Next picture. You say, what, is that the same thing? That's the same thing, but I don't like the first thing. I like the second thing. Now, that's not my house, if you're wondering. I went online and I thought, what kind of house would Jack like? And that's what popped up. No, isn't that awesome? Very simple. It's like 1,300 or 1,400 square feet. Very, very basic. I don't need much. That ain't a bad backyard or a front yard, right? Here's the point. Do you appreciate that?
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Go pick your own thing. Maybe you own one, a palace, man. Well, go get your palace. Here's the thing. The blueprints, they don't turn me on, but that does. You get that? God has a plan. He's got a plan for the universe. He's got a plan for everything. He's got a plan for you, and it's a design. It has a purpose, and it's on a blueprint. Literally, God has a blueprint for you to become something like this in the physical realm of your person. For example, next slide. What is this? Oh, okay, I'm going to ask you one more time. What is this? It's the Bible. Or it's God's blueprint. The Bible is, look, you have a blueprint to build a house, and who cares? But I like the house. And listen, God has a blueprint for humans. It's the Bible. The Bible is God's plan revealed. Salvation plan, redemption plan, purpose plan, meaning plan. It's all in the book. And when that book, the blueprint of that book is studied and applied by the believer, by the Christian, this is what happens. People are affected in all kinds of ways of life, every walk of life. In this particular case, because I went real random, as you'll see in a moment, somewhere along the line, some guy read a book, the Bible, the blueprint, found out that God is an engineer designer, that God has a purpose for his life, that God has meaning, and that God wanted to recreate, put a new heart in him and recreate and rejuvenate his mind. And that guy was so affected that he happened to bow down before a game and prayed. He could care less. He does it everywhere. That happens to be Tim Tebow. And there's a whole many other athletes that do the same thing. They're not being rude. They don't care because they've met the great architect. Are you with me? Okay, next slide. How does this stuff happen? Christians, okay, Salvation Army gets together and feeds a bunch of people that have been devastated by a crisis. How does that happen? This is the body, the building of Christ at work also because of the blueprint, the Bible. With me? Next slide. Who does this? Christian physicians form a group, wind up going to northern Iraq to minister to those who have been slain and mutilated and abused by ISIS. They do it out of their own pocket to serve Jesus whom they love and the people that Jesus loves also, strangers. Who does this? They do it, listen, they have to do it because there is a legend, there is a blueprint that's now in their life. Are you with me? All design. Yes, God has a plan for your life. Let God define to you what that plan is. Don't tell him what it is. It's amazing. Next thing, consider this, because a plan speaks meaning to our lives. Meaning, a plan speaks of meaning. And that's great, of great importance. A meaning. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness will be added to you. Put God first in your life. Put Jesus first in your life. Find out what your meaning is. Ask God. Listen, are you in the point of despair right now? Are you on the brink? Are you one of those people that are about to kill themselves? Stop and say, God, are you out there? Are you real? What's the meaning to my life? He'll answer you. Are you a Christian today? Maybe you've become distraught. Or maybe you are what Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote about in his great book. Maybe you're spiritually depressed. It could come from all kinds of areas, but you feel like you're just absolutely giving up. I want you to know that everybody in this room, as believers, know exactly how you feel. We've all gone through that from seasons. And I want to encourage you. The plan of God is for you to be reminding yourself and hearing it again that there's a meaning to the very calling that God has placed upon your life. Second argument is this. Who told you that God has a plan? Number two is that we all desire a plan. We do. We all do. I don't know. Listen, we're different people, right? We're all different people, but we desire a plan. You say, well, what do you mean? I go, well, first of all, just our very personalities. We're all different. I'm not big on plans exactly. I mean, I drive people nuts, especially my wife. This last, what is it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, married 38 years. She's a miracle. Because she's put up with me. Because you know what? I like waking up in the morning. What's the plan? I ain't got a plan. Lord, what do you want to do? But not totally. For example, in trying to plan a trip, and you may be this kind of a person. You need it ordered, and that's awesome. She goes online, and she's this, and I'm like this. And then the flight and the connector flight and the hotel? Book it. I mean, I can do that in 10 minutes. And then let's just move on to the next thing that we don't know what we're going to do about. Let's just move on. No, you know what she does? She's researching it hours and then days. No, days. And then it's like, well, what do you think about this one? It's good. It's just as good as the other one. That was 3 weeks ago. It's good. Just book it. Let's do it. And then look, thank God. Have you noticed that when it comes to marriage, opposites attract? I don't know how that worked, but it's weird. And so, yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm good with that. And then, you know, 2 days later. So did you book that one? Oh, no, I'm still thinking about that one. Okay, whatever. But you know what? She thinks it out and she's got it down. And when we show up, she knows exactly the color of the door at the place. And she knows this and that. And that's awesome. For me, it's just like, whatever. But don't you dare touch my lawn with a lawnmower if you don't mow in the exact straight lines. Because that's big, that's serious. I had a guy show up one time, did my lawn, and he did it like this. I said, go home, just go, go. We're just different people. We all desire a plan of some sorts in our lives. Where does that come from? Ultimately from God. Don't fight it, give in to him. It's true, we desire a plan. Why? Because we need a plan to stay on target. To stay focused on target. You've probably heard that saying, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. That's a great word. Be focused. As a Christian, I'm really big on this. Create some structure for you to be focused in your Christian life. Why? Because God has a plan for your life.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, Who Told You That God Has a Plan? Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you are experiencing life to the fullest. It happens when you put your trust in God. Who Told You That God Has a Plan is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's goodness, and His plan for our lives. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here's a great idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. It's a great way for you to be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources that are available as you grow in your relationship with God with the Real Life app. The Bible is right there available for you on the app, mobile friendly. You can read, you can listen, and the one-year Bible plan is right there too. So get involved with the Real Life app. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. And this month's book of the month is called Politics According to the Bible, written by Dr. Wayne Grudem. Now, this book was a major inspiration for Pastor Jack's Worldview series. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the book of the month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's book of the month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.